This morning we're going to discuss some of the basic halachas of heter ochel nefesh. So we're beginning the Ein Bein sigis in Megillah Daf Zayin. So the Mishnah tells us the first Ein Bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvad. There is just one difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that is cooking. That there's a heter to cook. Now the truth is this Mishnah is not so accurate. There are many other differences, and Rashi points out, and the other Rishonim point out that there are other differences. But Rashi says, in regards to Yisurim, there's no other difference with regards to Yisurim. But regarding the punishments, Shabbos, the punishment for violating Shabbos would be Skila, and the punishment for violating Yantiv would be Malkos. So there are many other differences, Rashi points out, as do other Rishonim. And there's another question they talk about, even though the word, the phrase, Ein Bein, there's no difference except for this, sounds like it's only this, but it's not really meant to be taken literally. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. There are other differences. And they don't explain why they say Ein Bein, but a suggestion based on the Tosfos Yontif, it's a very important yisod to have in general when learning Gemara. The Gemara is very poetic in a certain way because it was meant to be memorized. They memorized Mishnayos, and many of the Gemaras they memorized. So they wanted it to flow nicely. So Ein Bein Shabbos El Yomtif, Ein Bein Shabbos El Yomtif, Ela Ochel Nefesh Bevad, is a very nice statement which we could easily memorize. So there are a lot of explanations for this. That's why Tosfos Yontif says, we have the Chesuri Mechzera, sometimes, many times, the Gemara says there was a very important line that was missing from the Mishnah, that was missing intentionally. And it read the Mishnah in a completely different way than it's supposed to. Why? Because Tosfos Yom Tov says that Mishnahs are meant to be memorized. So sometimes if there's an awkward run-on sentence, it's not going to make it easy to remember. And you're supposed to memorize Mishnayos. So that might be part of the explanation why these Ein Beins is written in such a way, it's almost poetic to make it easier to remember. That's a completely different topic, but wanted to mention as we're beginning these Mishnayos of the Ein Beins.
This is in Megillah? You said something else.
Yeah, we're doing Megillah.
Oh.
Fine. So when you read this line and read the Gemara, it sounds like Ochel Nefesh, based on the pasuk that the Gemara brings, it's completely permitted. There are no limitations of what type of preparation you could do. You could cook all, whatever you want. There are no limitations. And that seems to be the reading of the Shulchan Aruch as well. Halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Simin Taf Tadihei, Kol Melacha Ha'asur B'Shabbos, every melacha that's prohibited on Shabbos is also asur b'yomtiv. Chutz mi melechas ochel nefesh, with the exception of ochel nefesh, which is completely permitted. And you walk away, and then there's no limitations. There's nothing to think about. You could cook all you want on yomtiv. The problem is, Tosfos dug up a gemara in Shabbos, which says if a person makes cheese on yomtiv and other types of ochel nefesh, one would get malchus for doing this. So he asks, how could that be? We have a clear Gemara in Megillah that says Ochel Nefesh is permitted. So why does the Gemara in Shabbos say that Ochel Nefesh and making cheese is prohibited? So Tosfos answers that there's a difference. It depends on the food. If it's a food that is better if it was made yesterday, like cheese, aged cheese is better. So you can't make that on Yom Tov. You want it to be the best it could possibly be. So you should have made it Erev Yom Tov. And if you made it on Yom Tov, that would be Aser. One would get Malchus. As opposed to the Gemara Megillah is referring to foods that are worse if they were made yesterday. It's actually better when they're fresh, like most foods are better fresh. So that's permitted on Yontif itself, and you wouldn't have to go out of your way to do this Erev Shabbos. So that's the difference between the Gemara Megillah versus the Gemara and Shabbos. Things that then are better fresh, you can make on Yontif, Ochel Nefesh. Things that are better made yesterday, as they age are better, that's Aser Yontif, that should be made Erev Yontif.
Might be even simpler than that. I thought he was saying that cheese is no good that day, so you're making something that you're not going to eat on that you can't eat on that day.
He doesn't say that. He says that things that don't get. He says that as follows: it's better yesterday. Not that it's bad today. It's just better if you had it yesterday.
But in sense, it may be very. Couldn't this be such a concept that if there's a food that needs a day to cure or something,
it could be. He doesn't say need to.
You can't do it.
It could be. He doesn't say it's needed to be. He just says it's better if it ages.
So Ochel Nefesh is not because you're going to die if you don't eat.
Oh, no, for sure. Ochel Nefesh isn't Pikuach Nefesh. It just means something that allows us to enjoy Yom Tov better. Okay, so that's the difference of Tosfos. So he starts limiting what you're able to do. It's not so clear-cut that Ochel Nefesh is permitted across the board. Now, the Shartian points out that there's a machlokus between Tosfos here and the Rambam. Tosa says that the limitation of cooking on Yantif is a din deraisa. There would be an iser deraisa. If you were to make cheese on Yantif based on the Gemara and Shabbos, one would get an iser deraisa and malchus for making cheese on Yantif. But according to the Rambam writes, and the Ravid as well, but he argues on the reasoning, they both say, no, ochel nefesh is permitted mid-deraisa across the board. The limitation is only for a derabanan reason. The Rambam says, if a person is busy cooking, I mentioned to some of you during the Seder this week, my wife would never cook anything on Yantif. It's because, number one, she didn't grow up that way. Her mother doesn't cook on Yantif. And number two, it would take away from her cooking, from her Yantif, rather, her enjoyment. So Rambam says, a person is not allowed to cook things on Yantif if they could have done it yesterday, because it's going to be Yimoneh Misimchas Yantif. It's going to take away from their enjoyment of Yantif. While the men are sitting there like kings eating at the table, and the wives inside, slaving, making food, and cooking, and baking, and everything they're doing. So I'm enjoying, and they're not.
That's
so
what makes them happy.
If it makes them happy, so that's a different story. But typically, even though a woman does maybe enjoy cooking, she still gets very drained and won't get to enjoy the sitting around the table with the kids and then the singing and the Divrei Torah and just the hanging out. So Rambam says if it's something that could have been made yesterday, should have been made yesterday, and this way it doesn't take away from your enjoyment of Yom Tov. So that's a restriction that the Derabbanan had instituted. And the Ravid just argues on the reasoning. He says, I agree that the limitation of ochel nefesh is only a rabbinic one, but it's because of marbe hatareach liyom kodesh. It's splitting hairs here. He says, no, it's not because you're losing out simcha, but more that it's going to cause more level of tircha, more exertion, which again is pretty similar, but the rabbi felt the need to argue, so there's obviously a difference there.
He felt the need to argue.
But there is some subtle difference. So right now we have a general machlokas. Is the limitation of cooking Yantif, is it a deraisa limitation, like Tosfos writes, or is it a rabbinic limitation, like the Rambam and the Ravid? And the Mishnah Berurah, again, I'm sure the number of nafkumina is, let's say it's a case of suffix. Let's say you're not really sure if the food gets better or not. Either you've never made this before, so you don't know if it's better yesterday or better today, or you're not sure how you're going to make it, or whatever the suffix is. So we have a general rule, as we all know, suffix derabanan lekula versus suffix deraisa lechumra. So lefi tosos lechora, if I don't know, I've never made this type of food before, I don't know if it's better a day before or better the day of, so Rama Tosos probably would say, if it's a suffix, better to make it erev yom tov. I'm guessing, I haven't seen this anywhere. But according to the Rambam and the Ravid, that's only a derabanan restriction, so maybe in the case of suffix, he would allow you, it's okay, lechadchila, you could cook it on yantif, because the suffix, derabanan lekula. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins, we assume that all these limitations of heter ochel nefesh is only a rabbinic restriction, as he says clearly in the Mishnah Berurah number 2. He says, midirabanan, these restrictions are only midirabanan, kidei, he quotes the reasoning of the Rambam, because if we're so involved in Melachos all day long, we're not going to enjoy our Yantif. And the Chavetz Chaim and the Shaar Tzion does point out our Tosos and Megillah, but he says Tosos elsewhere, among other Rishonim, assume that the limitations of Ochel Nefesh are only a rabbinic, is only a rabbinic limitation. Okay. Now there's one category that had not been addressed in the Tosos, and that's the middle category. What do I mean? So there are three types of foods. There are some types of foods that are better made fresh, which is probably most foods. I would say 90% of the foods are probably better fresh. A nice steak, some nice chicken, freshly fried chicken cutlets. And then there's a category of foods that are better as they age. Cheese and wine, but you're not really making wine, but just these are things that are better that as they age. And then there are some products that are just as good if you made it today versus making it a day before. Nothing's really going to spoil or stale had you made it yesterday versus today. So what Tosus addresses is things that are better yesterday should be made yesterday. And if you make them on Yom Tov, you're violating an Isser. So cheese is better the more it ages, so that should definitely not be made on Yom Tov. That should be made on Erev Yom Tov. Things that are better fresh, let's say a nice steak, so then that's permitted, l'chadchila, on Yantiv itself. But what about something that remains the same? I don't know, what's a good example? If you're not in Benish, what's a good example of something that remains the same without refrigerators?
Cereal.
Cereal. You make cereal. Let's say you make cereal. You know how to make cereal. I've never made cereal before. Let's say you make cereal. So cereal stays in a box just as good today as it did yesterday. So you made some Cheerios, you baked some Cheerios, or you cooked whatever you cook, I don't know, Fruity Pebbles, and then you put it in a box. And then you made it yesterday. If you made them today, nothing would change about it. So it doesn't get worse, doesn't get better. So that category, the Tosos doesn't address. So that's the machlokas between the Maharsha and the Tiferes Lemoshe. I'm not going to read them inside. They're a bit of a tricky read inside, but Misvar, we can understand what that category, what do you say? How, what's a psak in regarding that category? So if you look at the Rambam, I think Yossi pointed this out.
You can't just reason that Tosfos holds by the only time is when it's better, but fresh and...
No, because you make this opposite. You can make the opposite inferences from either case. He says, again, things that are better yesterday should be made yesterday, implying things that are not better yesterday, meaning things that remain the same, are permitted on Yontif. That's one conclusion.
That's right,
but then the other way you could say, he says things that get worse from yesterday can be done in Yontif. But things that don't get worse, that remain the same, cannot be done in Yomtif. So it's what the Gemara would say, Leka Lemashmi Minai. The Gemara says, from Reisha you imply one thing, from Seifa you imply the opposite thing, so you can't make any conclusion from Tosfos. So it's an open question that the Maharsha and the Tiferes Lemoshe dispute. I think Yasir Yitzi pointed out to me yesterday, the Rambam is clear in what his position is. If you look at the Rambam in number one, Rambam in Hilchas Yomtif Perek Aleph Halacha Hei, he says, Kol malacha she'efshar lo la'asos le'asos me'erev yamtif. Any malacha that is able to be done on erev yamtif, v'lo yeheba hefsad v'lo chisaron. There will be no loss of anything. So then, im nasas be'erev yamtif, had it been done erev yamtif, everything would remain the same. There's no loss, there's no gain, but there's no loss. It remains the same. Then, asu chachamim la'asos osa b'yamtif. So the Rambam's position is, if it remains the same, it would be asur to be done on Yontif. And that's also what the Mishnah Berurah writes as well, that things that remain the same are asur on Yontif. So this is a very important halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, if you know that you're going to be making something cereal and for Yontif, so then you should not make it on Yontif according to the Rambam and according to the Mishnah Berurah. You should make it yesterday because it's going to remain the same and it's not going to spoil.
Today, as you pointed out, with refrigerators, a much larger... Nothing chicken, potatoes, right. Tons of things, kugel. Once I reheat it in the oven, it's just as good as if I baked it right away.
So I'm not sure that's not always
really,
so clear.
Yeah.
So very good. So that this
depends,
is the debate.
Maybe it depends how sensitive your palate is.
For us,
it's fine.
I'm okay with you. But
for us, it's fine.
Yes, my wife, it's not the case.
Yeah, so it really depends on the food. I'm not going to go through all the different foods, but some foods can be just as good in the refrigerator.
Just the food that's just as good. If it's about Simchas Yontif and your wife says to you, you know, like, I don't want to be cooking on the day and I want to do it before, then it is going to take away from the person's Simchas Yontif, right?
What's going to take away?
You know, it's so subjective. If she says, listen, I'm not spending, let's say it's Monday and Tuesday is the holiday, right? It's very subjective. She could say, listen, I'm not going to be spending my whole Sunday preparing for the holidays. I'm going to cook on the holidays. So she might say that direction. Somebody might say the other direction, taken away from my Simchas Yontif. It's not so posh.
That's the distinction between the Rambam and the Rabbis. Because Rabbis said it's not about your necessary Simchas, it's about your Tircha.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So very good. So you're saying
if it's
about Tircha,
it's a closed case.
So then if it's taken away from Simchas Yontif,
it sounds like my case, it was no tircha involved, but she was concerned that she was going to be just too busy to enjoy Yontif.
Mm-hmm. So in a situation that she might enjoy it better if she cooks on Yontif, it still would be considered tircha for her, and according to the Rabbi, that would be usur to be done. But according to the Rambam, if that's how she gets hana, that's what Binyamin Benish was saying before, she gets hana, she is oneg Yontif by cooking Yontif, so for the Rambam, that might be permitted for her. Okay, so these are tricky things. But in the end of the day,
isn't Simchas Yomtov defined not by subjective simcha, but by the actual eating and drinking?
This is a very good question also. In general, that's a whole other sugya, of course, in the Gemara Pesachim and elsewhere, that what's the definition of Simchas Yamtif? Men, basar v'yayin, women with nice clothing, are those just typically what people enjoy? But if there are other things that they enjoy, that would also be considered onu Yamtif, Simchas Yamtif, or no? The Gemara defines these items per person, and there's no real changing from it. Yeah. For you and I, it's basar v'yayin, meat and wine. I don't like it. Too bad. That's what Simchas Yamtif is. So this is a big machlokus between the Rashbam and the Gemara Pesachim and the Rambam. Part of again a larger discussion how to define Onu Yamtif. But let's bring it back now to understanding the Heter of Ochel Nefesh. So again, things that remain just as good from yesterday to today, according to the Rambam and the Mishnah Berurah, would be Aser to be made on Yamtif itself. So now we have the whole question of refrigerators nowadays. According to some of you, refrigerators, depending on how sophisticated your palate is, refrigerators can make everything just as good, while others would contend that no. Who wants a chicken that's been in the refrigerator overnight, and then all the sauce begins to congeal, and then you reheat it, and it begins to melt, and it gets all oily on the top. So then who wants that? So some people don't appreciate the refrigerator. So that's a big discussion that's found in the poskim. So Rav Simcha Bar Mekon in the Hilchos Yamtif, he points out that there's a machlok is about the usage of a refrigerator and the Heter Ochel Nefesh. So he says as follows. He quotes an opinion here that's apparently Rav Yashav agrees to, that when the food itself, you have to look at the food itself, what's the natural aging of the food, forgetting the refrigerator. He says, Kevin Sha Ochel Mitzad Atzmo Mafik Tam. If the food itself, removing yourself from any refrigerators, the food itself, the nature of it is to get bad without a refrigerator, even though you could do other types of things to prevent that from going bad, such as a refrigerator, there is no chiv to make it on Erev Yom Tov. I mean, your case of cereal, it doesn't get bad. You don't need a refrigerator.
How does it change after 2,000 years?
Exactly. So things that don't require refrigeration, such as cereal, so that would be just as good today as it would be yesterday. It doesn't spoil in one day or even a few days. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't get stale. But something like a meat or chicken, if I left it out overnight in my house without a refrigerator, it wouldn't be as good. But now I have refrigerators and I can reheat them up. That doesn't change. You look at the actual food item, as you said, without any of the new technology, and that's the assessment. And that's what the Rav Yashav says. So therefore, even though we have refrigerators, nothing new changes. Okay. Now, the Ber Moshe quotes down here, the Ber Moshe, and the Dirshu also quotes such an opinion from Rav Nosson Karelitz, that he says, no. We actually do take into account new technology. We do take into account refrigerators. But he says, this is part of the discussion, even refrigerators, even though they're wonderful inventions and they could preserve things, there's still many items that are not as good when they're kept in the refrigerator overnight. Even though it's going to prevent it from spoiling as much, it's obviously better in my refrigerator than out in my hallway. It's still better that way. It's still, if in the end of the day, when I take the food out of the refrigerator, is it just as good or is it not just as good? So let's take an example. Kugel. So let's say kugel, your kugel, your wife makes a beautiful kugel that she made it yesterday, it's good. If she makes it and puts it in the refrigerator and has it the next day and warms up, it's just as good. So according to Rav Nosson Karelitz, that cannot be done on Yontif. But if it's something, let's say I mentioned the case of chicken. You made chicken with sauce, you put it in the refrigerator, it begins to congeal, you reheat it up, it gets all oily, it's not as good when it's reheated, let's say. So that even though you do have a refrigerator and still edible the next day, according to Rav Nosson Karelitz, if it's not as good in the refrigerator, so then you would be able to make it fresh on Yontif. As opposed to Rav Yashav, he says we don't consider refrigerator at all. We look at the food item itself. If it's left out overnight, is it going to go get better or get worse or stay the same? That's what we look at. We don't take into account the refrigerator. And it seems that we poskim, just from seeing the poskim here, that we do not acknowledge the usage of refrigerator as limiting Heter Ochel Nefesh. All we look at is the food itself. Is it better overnight or is it worse overnight? That's the question we look at.
You can't compare. Just to think about it, it's swallowing. You cannot compare. Somebody makes a kugel, a hot kugel, and comes out of the oven and you eat it.
I agree.
Kugel that you put into a refrigerator overnight.
I agree.
And you heat it up on a blast.
Here's a different example.
If you taste both of them, you would know that there's a difference.
Benjamin Wolf here says not true. He doesn't think that. It's different. Each person's different.
Think about the difference. You can't compare when you get a hot fresh kugel and when you get anybody.
And foods that mamish do need another day, the rule is what?
Things that do need another day, get better.
It's better the next day because you get skim off
So if it gets better overnight, so then
you have to do it.
You kind of have to do the chicken soup. We'll talk about other. If we get to time, we'll speak about how to get around it. But similarly, we have a different range of tastes here in the Chabur, which is very, very nice.
There are certain things that definitely.
The question right now is, are there any things that when made in the refrigerator, does it really make it just as good or not? So the Ber Moshe and the Rav Nissen Kreutz thought that there are certain items that if you made it yesterday and put it in the refrigerator, it will be just as good the next day. Others thought we don't take that into consideration. You and I, and I'm sure Ben as well, has very sophisticated palates. So I'd rather a fresh kugel than one in the refrigerator. I'm with you. But there are other people in this world like things. They don't mind it. They're not as sophisticated. They're not as makbid, and they're okay with a kugel that's been refrigerated overnight.
Well, is it your simcha, your wife's simcha? And if your wife's simcha makes you happy...
Don't focus on the simcha right now. That was just one of the reasons. But just now bring into what the food tastes like. Forget simcha. Just the taste of the food. That's really the debate that we're having right now. Okay, now another interesting point that it's brought in the Dirshu here is the following. Now, let's say food I'm going to eat that night, the first night of Yom Tov. I'm going to eat Leil Seder. Now, if I cook it Erev Yom Tov, nothing's going to really change. Right? If I cook it 4 hours before Yom Tov versus cooking it on Yom Tov itself, it's not, no matter what food it is, unlikely it's going to change. Maybe a nice fresh chicken color right off the frying pan. That's really good. And 3 hours later, you lose some of that little freshness. Right. But most things will be just as good. So Rav Yashiv has another chiddush here. He's very makel. Rav Yashiv says, even though it's not going to change the taste, and you would think, so therefore you should cook it on Leil Seder, Leil Yom Tov, says, since b'tivam, the nature of this food is over a 24-hour period you look at. If it objectively will be worse over 24 hours... So then I'm allowed to lichadchila make it on Yom Tov. Even though lemaisa, I'm cooking it at 3 hours before Yom Tov, and nothing's going to change in those 3 hours, still, you look at the food from the 24 hours. What happens over the period of 24 hours? If it's a food that's nature is to get worse, so then I can lichadchila cook it on Yom Tov, even though I could have cooked it earlier, a few hours earlier, and it wouldn't change its taste. We look at the objective food over the period of 24 hours, and that's a tremendous cool-up that Rav Yashiv says.
There's no difference in the heter ochel nefesh between one part of Yom Tov and another part of Yom Tov.
Exactly. And then one other point here, and then May 6:27, we have a few minutes still. There's a big chiddush that Rosh Shlomo Zalman says as well. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, he's quoted in Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, this is also quoted in the Deer Show, this is footnote number 8. He says, there is no need to heat food up from Erev Yom Tov because it's going to lose out some of the money from the gas. And if I need to leave the gas and the electric on running from Erev Yom Tov, as opposed to cooking it fresh, right, if I wanted, so I'm losing some money, I may as well just cook it on Yom Tov itself and raise the heat if I want and save myself some electricity and some of the gas bills. He says that's also completely permitted. You would think, saving gas is not a big deal. Saving the gas, electric bills. I should cook it for Erev Yom Tov, leave it on the fire so it's continuing to stay hot. And this way I avoid doing any melacha on Yom Tov. Says of Shlomo Zalman, that's also considered a hefsid. We said anytime there's a hefsid in the food, I could cook it fresh on Yom Tov. He extends this, even if there's a hefsed not to do with the food, but in my bills, there's going to be a cost for me that's also considered a hefsed. I don't have to start heating the food up on Erev Yom Tov. I could cook it fresh on Yom Tov itself if that's going to save me some of the cost, which is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, and that's what the Rishon LeZalman writes. And in addition to that, he says also, if I'm boiling up water, so if I start boiling the water up from Erev Yom Tov, some of it's going to evaporate. I'm going to have less water. That's also a hefsed, not in the quality of the water, of course, but in the quantity, that's also considered hefsed, and I can lichadchila warm up water on Yom Tov itself and not have to avoid this. So I don't know, many times, growing up, my mom always cooked on Yom Tov, but now being married to my wife, she never ever cooks. And it seems like almost like there's an isser to cook on Yom Tov. But we see from all these Rishonim and Achronim, it's completely mutter to cook all types of items on Yom Tov. There's no reason at all to hold back. The only items one would have to cook from Erev Yom Tov are things that are actually better as they age, which I think nowadays is very limited. No one's making cheese in their house or anything that really ages. Chulin would be an example, I guess, of something that would be good overnight.
So
but other than chulin,
foods, they make tons of pickled foods in my house.
Oh, so
Ashkenazi. They pickle everything, the Iraqis.
Right, so things that get pickled would be
much better than
so things that would be a good example of something that would be good prepared if there's a violation of if there's a mlacha of pickling. It's mlacha. I think the Gemara does mention pickling as one of the mlachas anyways, as under the category of
cooking.
I don't think they say bishul. They say, I remember which one this is now. But either way, we see, so there is a tremendous, again, no one should really feel restricted to cook a Yom Tov. There's a lot of good reasons to actually cook a Yom Tov itself.
How do we forget, the rabbi said a minute ago, oh, forget Simcha for now. How do we forget Simcha and Tircha that we just discussed before, and that's not a consideration? Someone says it's taken away from my Simcha, better cook it
The Achorim don't really take this reason. They don't really take this in consideration in terms of the calculation. I don't know why they don't, but that was just some of the back reason for it. But when it comes to halacha, they're looking at the food itself in terms of taste. That's the definitions that they're working at. They're not bringing the reasoning behind it into defining what the halacha is. Yeah, I happened to be in the Svarim store yesterday. I just saw a nice sefer called Ochel Nefesh. I figured I'd pick it up and see if it's interesting. It seems very interesting, a very organized sefer. And he has just a piece here about our topic. I'll just read through Halacha L'maisa, what he gathers together from the various Rishonim and Achronim, just to make it very clear what can be done. There are two small paragraphs here. So he writes that any Melechas Ochel Nefesh, Asher Efshir Lo La'asosim Erev Yom Tov, any cooking you could have done Erev Yom Tov, Velo Yeheba Hefseh, there won't be any loss. Im ha'isa neses mibod yom. If you did it yesterday, it wouldn't lose anything. It wouldn't lose in quality. It wouldn't lose in quantity. And he says, asr la'asos b'yom tov. As we know, you can't do that on Yom Tov if there is no loss. Elim kein mishane k'tzas basiyasa. I didn't address this, but the Ramah addressed the Indian of a shinoy. If I want to cook something on Yom Tov that could have been aged, let's say cheese or cholent, so you have to do some shinoy to make cholent on Yom Tov that I could have made yesterday, that I would have to make a shinoi. He doesn't address how exactly to accomplish the shinoi, but there should be some level of shinoi when making the chulin on Yom Tov itself. Then he says further, Ayidei shinoi gam litchachila yesh matirin lahamtin ad Yom Tov la'asos b'shinoi. I know that I want to make a chulin on Yom Tov. I know I do. I'm just not interested in making it today. I don't want it. I don't have time. I'm not interested. So then he says, I'm allowed to lichadchila delay the making of chulin on Yom Tov to rely on a shinoi. I mean, oftentimes shinoi is only invoked when there's a bidyevit situation. I got stuck. I should have done it yesterday. I got stuck. So now I have to do it b'shinoi. What he says here, based on the Mishnah Berura, I'm allowed to lichadchila rely on that shinoi and make the chulin on Yom Tov itself. So this is, again, a further heter. So everything that is better fresh, you can make on Yom Tov without any limitations. Things that are better yesterday, I can't make on Yom Tov, but I'm allowed to lichadchila do it ayde shino and wait that way. So this is a tremendous kula we have here.
Yeah, exactly.
Mishnah Berurah, I didn't want to read inside, but yes, exactly, it's found in the Mishnah Berurah, right. Okay, now he says something interesting as well. Im Yom Tov, im Tov Yoser lasosim lachazu me'er Yom Tov, if it's better, erev Yom Tov. Yesh osim, there are those who forbid it, actually, even ayde shinoi. But he says there's an eitzah. Let's say you didn't make the chulin, erev Yom Tov, and you want to make the chulin. So he says, Vim lo asa be'er yamtif, and you don't want to really rely on the shinoi to make it on yamtif itself. I should have made the chilon yesterday. I didn't make the chilon. Yesh eitza. Litein l'shachin. La'asos es amlacha azu. Give it to your neighbor. Give the beans and the barley and everything to the potatoes, whatever you put in the meat, to your neighbor. Because shalom for him, he didn't have the food to make it. So that's an Eitza. I don't know who he quotes from here. It sounds like a pretty interesting Eitza. I personally... Right. No, so that's part of this machlokas he's addressing, but he's adding in this eight to give it to a neighbor, because he couldn't have made my chilun for me, because he didn't have the food until now.
Make him cook
so,
it?
So, may you ask him to cook it. You can't put a gun to his head, but you can ask him. But yeah. Right, so that was one opinion, but then he quoted the other opinion, which is the Berlacha that you're referring to, that one is not allowed to relate, to delay it. So he gives his Eitza, which, again, he doesn't quote anybody, which I found to be pretty interesting. It sounds a little bit of harama to me, some level of trickery to get around it, which we have many places in Halacha. But I'm not so comfortable with this. You give your neighbor the beans and the barley and go cook it. I can't argue. I can't agree with it. He doesn't have any sources here, but I thought this was interesting nonetheless. And then he concludes and says, "Ava mulachos ochal nefesh sheyef shalasos in erev yomtiv, food that could not have been done on erev yomtiv, because if I made them erev yomtiv, it would yiskalkel hamaychal, the food would get worse. Oh shelo yada mibod yom sheyet starich lamaychal zeh. This is a very important one. I didn't know I needed this food. I didn't know I was having guests. I didn't know we were going to run out of this food. That's also a heter of being able to cook." Only if you know it's going to be before Yom Tov, you have your whole menu, you start to have to calculate what's being done. If you don't have the time, you don't know, so then, or there's a certain hefset, a certain loss, so then you don't have to do all your preparations at Yom Tov, and you can do the Yom Tov itself without any shinoi. Okay, so we'll stop here, but at least we walk away with that. When it comes to cooking on Yom Tov, there are a tremendous amount of kulas, and there should be very limited limitations. Most things are permitted on Yom Tov. Next week, we're going to jump to the mission on the top of Daf Chesam and Aleph. We're going to discuss Drisas Regel, which talks about trespassing. People walking through your property, is that permitted or not?